The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Lobontoni. Police in Oklahoma arrested a naked man sleeping in a dog bed.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, but thanks to a great lawyer, I'm back in time for the show.
Okay, yeah, that's nice, but this guy was found in another person's garage in the dog bed. You got 4 or 5 garages that I know of. Why would you be in somebody else's garage?
I actually only have one garage. It's on the little house, only one. But I have had the opportunity to sleep in my own dog's bed, and it's very comfortable. It's very comfortable. It is, it's nice. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Kentucky Derby winner fails a drug test, the Lakers are healing, and Rory McIlroy gets a big win. But we begin today with something we rarely discuss, track and field, that Wilbon and I both love. DK Metcalf had his opportunity to wow the track world in the 100-meter dash over the weekend in the Golden Games in California. Metcalf ran a 10.37, which is great for football, but was last in his heat and placed him 15th of 17 true sprinters. Wilbon, should Metcalf be happy with his result?
I mean, relatively speaking, Tony, because this is not what he does for his livelihood. I mean, Metcalf doesn't have to hang his head and say, oh, God, I didn't qualify yet for the Olympic trials, and it looks like I won't be in the Olympics. He didn't have to be, because DK Metcalf, he's faster than just about everybody in the sport in which he makes millions and millions of dollars and enjoys justifiably a sterling reputation. So, no, he can say, you know what? I'm a little disappointed because I thought I was faster than this and I thought I might get in the Olympic trials at some point, some way with a faster time, but it didn't happen. All right, it was nice. Back to work now. I think it's impressive. Maybe he doesn't, but I do.
Here's the thing. If you saw him lined up with all the other sprinters and you said, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture is he's bigger by far than everybody else. Yeah. He's carrying a lot more weight. Let me get the numbers exact. He's 6'4", 230. And why? Because he's a football player and he gets hit. And he's got to build up a musculature for football that is different than running in track. He beat two of these guys. I think he should be thrilled that this happened. It worked out like Skeets Nehemiah said it would, that he would finish way back in the pack. But he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't embarrassed at all. Otto Bolden, who I think did the call on this, Otto Bolden said that I didn't think he was going to run anywhere near that well. He hung with the pack, and then Otto Bolden talked about how other football players, maybe Tyreek Hill, should think about this. The guy who won, Mike, who ran a 9.96, which is like a kite flying in the air. It's so fast. At 6 feet, 160 pounds. That's like 80 pounds
less
different.
Than DK Metcalf. Yeah, this is a cool thing, Tony, and I did like following it. I think the real winner here is track and field. Because, yes, you have, first of all, you reintroduce very quickly at the top of the pyramid Otto Bolden and Skeets Nehemiah. I mean, that is one. You're bringing in experts, world experts in Nehemiah for both the sports. And now you're reintroducing track and field and sprinting, which we love, I think, more than anything else about track and field. You're reintroducing it at a time just over a year out from the 2022 Olympics in Tokyo. And
not
the
a
season,
year, it's
the track
months.
And field. Oh, wait, next
it's
month.
3 months.
What am I saying?
Only,
it's a month. It's
I don't
a
know.
Couple of months from now. But, Tony, it's track and field season now. And you've got big events coming. And this is great. Something other than the draft for some of us is in order. And I love this.
So I think, as you know, because we talked about it on my podcast today, I think that the 100-meter race is perfect in sports. It's 8 people running in lanes, and whoever gets to the tape first wins. It's not judged like gymnastics. It's not judged like skating. If you get there first, you win. People always ask me, I'm sure they ask you, what's the greatest event you've ever attended? And mine is the 100-meter dash in Seoul in 1988, Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis. And Carl Lewis, I'll never forget the look on his face, looks to his right and goes, I'm not going to catch this guy. I'm not going to catch this guy.
I'm not going to get him.
Yeah.
That's one of mine. And you know, when Kathy Freeman in the 400 in Australia in 2000, and anything that Nehemiah was involved in early, almost, gosh, almost 40 years ago, nearly that long, in the 30s, 30s plus, all those events were great events, Tony, and they top anything from football, basketball, baseball. They do. So I'm glad that we had that story this weekend. Giddy up, Tone. We got a big horsey story. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race drug test and could be stripped of its title. Churchill Downs will await the results of a second sample before taking action, but it suspended the horse's mega trainer, Bob Baffert, from racing horses there. Baffert denies administering the drug in question and plans to run Spirit in this week's Preakness. Tone, how does this whole thing look to you?
All right, just as a preamble, I'm a little bit dangerous on this because I talk to two people who understand horse racing. So I'm a little bit dangerous. Okay. How does it look to me? It looks bad. If that second sample, which I believe is called a split sample, if that comes back positive, it totally tarnishes the reputation of the greatest Kentucky Derby trainer ever, Bob Baffert.
Seven.
Totally,
right?
Tarnishes.
Seven wins?
It does. And what's particularly important about this is if the split sample, which I don't know that we're going to hear from for even weeks
away,
if it comes back negative, they will conclude that the positive test was a false positive. And the horse and everybody else will be exonerated. It falls on the trainer. The trainer has administrative responsibilities like a head coach. You know, whatever happens in a barn lands on the trainer, whether he personally approved it or not, lands on the trainer. Now, the other question is, he would like to run the horse, Medina Spirit, he'd like to run it in the Preakness. Of course he would, to see if he'd get the second leg of the Triple Crown. But I think it's possible that the state of Maryland or that Pimlico could say, no, you're under a cloud. No, we're not going to let you run. I don't know how that's going
to
play out.
It's hard to know anything. Again, B sample is weeks away. I wrote down,
yep,
after listening to this morning. And, you know, Tony, I mean, Baffert is a charismatic and enormous,
yes,
figure in this sport. And you mentioned his Kentucky Derby history. You can just look at the history of all his horses competing in the Triple Crown races. But yet, there have been times where he's been called in the carpet, suspension, even if that suspension has later been overturned. And you look at this and go, wait a minute. What is somebody with the profile and the success of Bob Baffert? How is he involved in this stuff all the time? And what does it mean? And I'm not going to sit here and try to provide any answers. Because if they ain't got any answers in Baltimore, where this horse may very well run on Saturday afternoon,
right,
then we ain't
right,
going to have any
right.
answers sitting here. But, Tony, I thought in a weird way, this could help the horse industry. The racing industry, because now you got all this controversy ginning up as you get to the middle of these three races. And so, yes, I know you don't want the sample to come back positive as well, because then Baffert's in big trouble. But, you know, for the time all being, right, a little controversy, does it hurt?
There's a couple of things to say here. I'm not sure that Baffert has earned the benefit of the doubt in the court of public opinion. I'm not sure of that. But Baffert is doing something here that he's never done before. Baffert has said, we did not administer,
yes,
this drug. And by the way, all these drugs are legal if they wash out of the system.
Yeah.
You know, he said we never, he's planted a flag in this one that he has never planted before. And it makes it, to me, doubly interesting. Let us move on. Let's go to the NBA. We have three games to talk about. The Lakers beat the Suns behind 42 points from Anthony Davis. The Knicks beat the Clippers in Los Angeles, and the Celtics gave up 79 points in the first half to the Heat, and they lost at home. Wilbon, which was the most significant result?
Well, Tony, these things are personal. And for me, I'm a little worried about the Suns, and while they still are in the running for the best record in the league after not making the playoffs for the last 10 years, the league, number one, they could be. What worries me is looking at that size the Lakers have, and they can play the Lakers in the first round. If the Lakers have to go play in and get in as the 7 and the Suns are the 2, they match up in the first round. And the Lakers have size. And the Suns are still putting together a roster to get out of the depths of not making the playoffs. And while Chris Paul could be in the top 3 in the MVP, he ain't going to be 6'9", 250 by next week. And so the Suns yesterday got overwhelmed by size, missing LeBron. And so I'm worried about that. But the Knicks, Tony, that was a great bounce back for the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks have been on this road trip out west. It's tough to win. They go out there, they beat the Clippers. And the Heat, you know, I still think the Heat is dangerous. I still think the Heat could take out one of those top seeds in the East if they are just in the without the play-in. So they're all important, but I'm a little worried about the Suns having to play against size. I'm fine with the Suns with any other matchup, the Laker matchup, but that size worries me.
Yeah, so I'll answer the question directly, and I will agree that the Lakers win is the most significant because not only was Anthony Davis great in
42,
that particular
42
win.
42 points.
But there is reporting by Yahoo today that LeBron James is physically ready to come back and will come back this week. And to your point, the Suns, if they finish second, with the second best record in the entire NBA, who would they draw in the first round right now? They would draw the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers just beat them. So that makes it important. And beyond that, the Knicks, they've been playing pretty well for a while. And Boston has been sputtering for a while.
Celtics.
In terms of import to the NBA and popularity within the NBA and moving the needle, the Lakers are far more important than those other teams. Far more. So you want, if you're the NBA, you want the Lakers to look good going into the playoffs. You're always, I mean, you do this all the time. You call me at home and you say, get with the Knicks. Get with the Knicks, the team of your youth.
I did that yesterday. What are you doing? You wouldn't even watch the Knicks. You're watching the Nats and Rory.
No, I watched Rory.
I mean, it's so gutless.
I watched the Nats and Rory.
Stop it.
Here's the Knicks right now. The Knicks have Julius Randle from the Lakers, and they got Tom Thibodeau and Derrick Rose from your Bulls. They're not my Knicks. They're your Knicks at the moment. I'll get to them eventually. Let's take a break.
That's ridiculous.
Coming up, does Rory McIlroy's win make him the favorite for the PGA Championship?
And how should Rob Manfred feel about yet another no-hitter in baseball? Where'd Dave DeBuscher come from? Didn't he come from somewhere else to join your Knicks? Yeah,
the Detroit Tigers, the Chicago White Sox. Chicago White Sox, I believe.
Both, right?
But he's number 22. Come on, he's my...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Mail time. Will you just air out your issues to the whole country? Let me see what's first here.
Bill got issues? Serious issues?
Does Rory's win make him your favorite for the PGA Championship in 2 weeks?
No, I get why you would ask this question. I mean, Rory has won, you know, on the course that the PGA will be contested on. So I understand that. Rory just won in a place, Quail Hollows, the course, where he had played so well over the years. And yes, guys have favorite courses. Players this great and this famous and this accomplished have favorite courses. I mean, the Tiger has his favorite courses. So Rory may feel really good, you know, going to Kiowa, but favorite? I'm going with John Rahm. I'll have Rory in that top five somewhere, Tony, but I don't know about the favorite. Yeah. Are you willing to do that?
Well, when he won the PGA, and he was a dominant player as a very young man. He won by 8 at the Ocean Course at Kiawah. That was in 2012. In 2011, he won by 8 in the U.S. Open in Congressional. That hasn't happened much recently, that kind of dominance. He almost lost the tournament yesterday. On the 18th hole, he pulls out. He doesn't take driver. He takes the safe club, 3-wood, hooks it left. It almost gets in the water. He calls a penalty on himself, which was very smart, and he bogeys and still wins the tournament. But, Mike, he was all over the place. He hit 3 of 14 fairways yesterday.
It was amazing.
For the 4 days on a course that he likes, He hit 19 of 56 fairways.
Yeah.
I can do that. I'm not comfortable saying that he's a favorite. I'm thrilled that he has won recently after years. I'm thrilled Spieth has won recently after years. But I'm not comfortable saying he's a favorite. But I'll tell you who's really happy, Mike. The PGA Tour. Because Rory is dead set against the Super League. So they're happy he's won.
Yeah, I think that Super League is going the same way as soccer's Super League, which is away. That's what I suspect.
How do you think Rob Manfred reacted to Wade Miley throwing a no-hitter?
You know, I mean, he probably had a reaction that he's having on every one of these. There'll probably be four or five more, which is, what do I make of this, Tony? Because I know that the baseball, the new generation of baseball poets, they can't even watch a game. All they can do is apply numbers and angles and all this stupid velocity. They can't watch a game. They're not even smart enough to do that. So what are you supposed to make of it? Because I know one thing. I like these no-hitters. They're exciting. There's drama. There's tension. It's okay to have them. I'm tired of the whining from everybody who wants to put a solution on baseball every day. There's one solution. Tell hitters to stop swinging for the damn fences and put the ball in play. Start them that way at Little League, but nobody seems smart enough to do that. They're going to obsess over the numbers.
So I think we have a sincere disagreement over this. I think Rob Manfred's reaction was to call Theo Epstein and ask, can we move the rubber back 2 feet?
Theo, what should we do?
Let me just tell you this. Let me go through these numbers on the four pitchers who've thrown no-hitters on those. Wade Miley, career, 89 and 87, been through seven teams. John Means, who just did it like an hour and a half before Wade Miley, 18 and 15. Joe Musgrove, 31 and 42. Carlos Rodon, 34 and 33. These are average guys throwing no-nos at a rate we've not seen since 1917. I know you remember 1917 because Babe Ruth wasn't an everyday player. He was a pitcher for the Red Sox. I think maybe they have to go back to last year's ball, Mike, because last year's ball, at least it went out of the park and there weren't all these no-hitters. I don't know the solution.
That's what they were trying to stop, Tony, was balls going out of the park. So that's what
they
do.
Don't.
They just rock from pillar to post stupidly because nobody seems to understand. Make these guys from the age of 12 put the ball in play and stop launch angles. Stop swinging for the fifth. But no. Let's find phony, bogus solutions that don't work one year to the next, including the tightness of the ball. And you didn't count Bumgarner's no-hitter, so don't make me angry.
Nine-inning no-hitters is what they're counting,
yeah,
not seven. We're tired
counting.
Of dealing with your issues, people. Let's take one last break, but still to come. How concerned should the Mets be about the injury to Jacob DeGrom?
And will Bradley Beal's bad hammy keep him from winning that scoring title over Stephen Curry?
Again, the majority of people who've thrown perfect games are near great to great pitchers, and the majority have thrown no-hitters way in the middle.
Then why are they throwing no-hitters?
If
they're only mediocre, why are they getting no-hitters against everybody?
Obviously, the ball's not going out anymore.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 21st birthday yesterday, Trey Lance. The biggest headline in the recent NFL draft was Lance going third overall to the San Francisco 49ers. A year ago, nobody outside of the upper Midwest knew who Lance was. He was the quarterback at 1AA North Dakota State. This past season, Lance played only one game, and still his draft stock climbed straight up. For weeks before the draft, most people speculated the 49ers would take Alabama's quarterback, Mac Jones. But apparently, after attending Lance's pro day, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch determined he would be the quarterback of San Francisco's future.
And now, Tony, like a lot of the guys taken, or several taken early, you're wondering how long before Lance gets in. I mean, San Francisco has their incumbent quarterback who did, oh wait, lead them to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. What's your over-under on week what when Lance gets in a game?
When Garoppolo gets hurt, not before
that. Oh, that's cold.
Happy anniversary, Bobby Orr. On this day 51 years ago, Orr scored his iconic flying through the air game-winning goal to win the Stanley Cup by sweeping the St. Louis Blues. The goal came off a give-and-go pass with teammate Derek Sanderson at the 42nd mark of overtime. Orr remains the only NHL defenseman to ever win the NHL scoring title, and he holds the record for most points and most assists by defensemen in one season. Orr was a three-time MVP, and in 1979, when he was only 31 years old, he became the youngest player ever inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. That familiar photo of Orr was taken by Ray Lucier.
Tony, how about Orr and most everybody else on the ice that game not wearing helmets? Take note, kids. I mean, it was a while ago, but a couple of St. Louis Blues players, I think, back then were wearing helmets at the time, but very, very few NHL players then.
Happy trails, John Tortorella and Rick Tocchet. The always testy Torts was let go as coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, his fourth NHL coaching stop, and Tocchet is out as coach of the Arizona Coyotes. Neither Columbus nor Arizona made the playoffs this season. Torts was 227, 166, and 54 in six seasons in Columbus, making the playoffs four times, including the stunning sweep of number one seed Tampa Bay in 2019 when Columbus was the eighth. Tocchet was 125, 131, and 34 in four seasons in Arizona, missing the playoffs three times. Torts will probably have a job by tonight.
Tony, the Coyotes are the Arizona team I probably pay the least attention to, but recently I crashed a dinner in Scottsdale with Charles Wade Barkley and Rick Tocchet. It was great. I mean, you know, we didn't mention Tocchet the player. I mean, Tocchet was a skilled and tough guy as a player, and some of that, for, of course, for the Philadelphia Flyers, if I remember correctly, which is where he and Charles knew each other from Philly. So, sorry to see Tocchet. I hope he stays in the desert. Just because he got fired from this gig doesn't mean he has to get up and leave.
I hope you bought him a drink in anticipation of him
being fired.
Let's go to the
Chuck
big finish. Bradley Beal will miss the next two games due to his hamstring strain. Your thoughts?
Tony, the Wizards have been great, led by Beal and Russ. But they're not in yet. They still may need him, and he's battling out with Steph Curry as well. Jacob DeGrom was put on the injured list after experiencing tightness in his right side.
He's a great pitcher. And they don't even score for him anyway. The Dodgers lost their fifth straight series. They've now dropped 11 of 14. Is that cause for concern?
Yeah. They lost this series to the last place Angels. We're all people declaring them the greatest team since the 27 Yankees stopped. Tim Tebow expected to sign a one-year deal to play with the Jaguars at tight end. Can he even make the team, Tony?
So this is like DK Metcalf trying to be a sprinter. I don't know. Tight end, I don't know. But he's reunited with Urban Meyer, so he's got a shot. Last one, Connor McDavid reached 100 points in 53 games, the fastest in 25 years. Is that a big deal?
You're on a list with Lemieux and Yager. That's a big deal. This guy's amazing to watch.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.
So my friend Carl Saliba, he won the race for the city council in Lewis, Delaware.
Good for him.
I said.